This is CPX number 6, the Creed 1.2, number 10 and 11 on God's positive will and permissive will. CPX stands for Catechism of Pope St. Pius X. Today, question number 10 says, does God take any interest in the world and in the things created by him? Answer, yes, God takes an interest in the world and in all things created by him. He preserves them and governs them by his infinite goodness and wisdom. And nothing happens here below that he does not either will or permit. Number 11, why do you say that nothing happens here below that he does not either will or permit? Answer, we say that nothing happens here below that he does not either will or permit because there are some things which God wills and commands, while there are others which he simply does not prevent, such as sin. Now today we're only going to look at those two questions from the Pope. Normally I'm going to look at 10 questions and pick one of those, but today we're actually going to look at both of those. This is because next time we're only going to look at one, number 12, that's going to essentially look at this ancient question, the problem of pain. How can God be infinitely good and infinitely powerful and not stop suffering? But today, because we're going to look at the difference between God's positive will and his permissive will, it's really important that to get ready for CPX 7 on Wednesday, you are with us for CPX 6 today to look at these two questions on God's positive will and permissive will. Today, I want to show you just a little how almighty God's will is. And probably the best way to expand upon the Catechism of Pope St. Pius X is to read a little bit from this book, which is called Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma by Ludwig Ott, a German. It's a one-volume encyclopedia of the doctrines of the Catholic Church. He has a section here called The Divine Willing. Number 24 says the perfection of the divine willing. Holy Scripture sees in God's free will the ultimate basis of the world order, quoting Psalm 134:6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, he hath done, in heaven, in earth, in the sea, and in all the deeps. As God is pure act, actus purus, there is in his willing no transition from potency to act, no habitus, no sequence of individual acts of will, but one single successionless act of willing. His will, by virtue of the absolute simplicity of God, is factually identical with the divine essence. And he quotes St. Thomas Aquinas, sicut suum intelligere est suum esse ita suum vele, translated as, just as God's intelligence is God's essence, so is his will. These are one thing. It's how powerful God is. The affections in God corresponding to his nature are purely spiritual manifestations of his volition. Volition is his will. The basic affection is love, which in God is factually identical with his essence. God is charity. 1 John 4:8. As far as hate is concerned, there is in him, on account of his absolute holiness, the hate of abomination towards sin, but not the hate of enmity towards the person of the sinner. Quoting Psalm 5, verse 7, thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. And Wisdom 11:25, thou lovest all things that are, and hatest none of the things which thou hast made. Ott continues, other affections such as longing, sadness, hope, anger can be attributed to God only in an anthropomorphic sense. Anger in Holy Scripture means the punitive justice of God. Further, God's love for creatures is a benevolent love. That is, God loves creatures not with a receiving, but with a bestowing, and therefore a most unselfish love. Amor Dei est infundus et creans bonitatem in rebus. That's St. Thomas Aquinas, translated as, the love of God infuses and creates goodness in things. God is creating you right now. It says in Acts that in him we live and move and have our being. Nothing can happen, nothing can be if God wasn't holding it in existence right now. Ott continues, God does not per se desire physical evil, for example, suffering, illness, death, or as an aim, Wisdom 1:13, for God has not made death, neither hath he pleasure in the destruction of the living. However, God wills physical evil, natural evil, as well as punitive evil per accidens, that is, as a means to a higher end of the physical order, for example, for the acquisition of a higher life. Now, per accidens means not by essence, but by attribute. And maybe we could say here, as things happen to be after the fall of Adam and Eve. But Ott continues, moral evil, that is sin, which according to its nature is a revolt against God, is willed by God neither per se, in and of itself, nor per accidens, as I said earlier. That means not by essence, but even by attribute. That is, neither as an end, nor as a means to an end. In other words, sin is never God's will. God simply permits sin, permissive solum, from Denzinger. God simply permits sin because he has consideration for man's freedom, and because he possesses the wisdom and the power to cause good to arise from evil. In the final end, moral evil will serve the supreme aim of the world, the glorification of God, inasmuch as it reveals his mercy in forgiving and his justice in punishing. So back to St. Pius X there. Nothing happens here below that he does not either will or permit, because there are some things which God wills and commands, while there are others that he simply does not prevent, such as sin. So I just said that God never wills sin, but God wills physical evil, that's natural evil and punitive evil, per accidens, as I said, meaning not by essence, but by attribute. Maybe we could say here again, per accidens means things as things happen to be after the fall of Adam and Eve. Okay, so a physical evil would be like a birth defect. Now, unless it's due to something like fetal alcohol syndrome, of course, we can say for sure that birth defect is not due to any sin of the father or the mother or the sin of the baby. But I don't think we can say God positively willed that birth defect either. So I'm going to differ with Ott a little bit here, and people can push back if they want. So I'm going to put that into the permissive will of God in my forthcoming description on Wednesday on CPX 7. That will be the problem of pain. So despite what Ott said because of that per accidens distinction, I think I'm going to just sideline that because it's really hard to include that distinction in a basic catechism series. So God's positive will includes natural good and supernatural good. Let's talk more about the difference between God's positive will and permissive will. And this is going to be necessary again in CPX 7 so you get why there's evil in the universe. Okay, positive will. Natural good, we're going to talk about supernatural good in a second that also fits under this umbrella of God's positive will, but let's talk natural good. Natural good is anything good coming from God before we get to the supernatural order of things. So a rainbow. Think of an unborn chimpanzee in its mother's uterus being developed. Think of like the absolute specificity of those eyes, those perfect protein cascades that no camera has even been able to replicate. That's the positive will of God. I might even go so far as to include in the positive will of God a lovely afternoon horse ride with your friends, a birthday party, certainly a new life, a new human first conceived and later born into the world. That's certainly the positive will of God, because all of this is the goodness of God flowing forth. All these are natural aspects of the positive will of God, which is always goodness, because God is infinite goodness. Okay, the positive will of God also includes supernatural goods. So for example, if you go to a priest and you have your sins absolved, that's at the supernatural level. God willed that, provided you were sorry. God willed to forgive your sins when that priest said to you, "I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." God positively willed that to happen. Or think of when a cripple comes to a saint and that saint raises him up and that cripple can walk now. That's the positive will of God. Anything good that is happening at the supernatural level is the positive will of God. Now, the permissive will of God is things God only permits, mostly evil, but we're going to see a couple exceptions. Now, God is infinite in his power, and he could stop these things like sin and evil, but for the free will of angels and humans, and for his own astonishing ability to turn evil events of history into good, the first, of course, or I should say the pinnacle of this being the crucifixion of his son, he does not stop these things. Again, the permissive will of God is when he allows evil to happen, but he doesn't cause it. That's super important. Doesn't cause it. Now, I'm not sure if the saints would put this in here, but I'm going to put neutral decisions of humans into the permissive will of God. So, for example, if I go get ice cream and I'm trying to decide if I'm going to get chocolate or vanilla, if I get chocolate instead of vanilla, I'm just going to place that in the permissive will of God, because I don't think probably God didn't have a will for me to get chocolate or vanilla coming in there. But now let's get to the heart of the permissive will of God. First, sin is the main thing we look at when we're talking about the things that God did not will, but only permits. He doesn't want it, but because he gave us free will, we can sin if we want. This includes fallen angels, and it includes the sins of men. God did not will Lucifer to rebel against him in heaven, but he allowed for it in his infinite justice to be seen against these rebel angels. God did not want Adam and Eve to sin, but he allowed it. So it could be seen forever on the cross that he extracted the greatest good from the greatest evil without even overturning human freedom. We'll talk about that on Wednesday in CPX 7. What is another example of God's permissive will in sin? Not just the giant events like the fall of Lucifer from heaven or Adam and Eve disobeying in the garden, but just the daily events like a woman who gets high on cocaine. God didn't will that, but he permitted it because she had free will. So that event of her getting high on cocaine was God's permissive will, not his positive will. So we can't look at everything that happens in history and say God willed it. That's kind of Muslim and it's kind of Calvinist. Were any of these events God's fault? Of course not. So for example, if a man is driving drunk in the middle of the daytime and he kills an 8-year-old girl on her bike, was that God's fault? No, he did not make that man drunk. And we'll tackle on CPX 7 why God would allow that. And that's why you need to have down these terms of God's positive will and permissive will. Now, evil that's not sin, I'm still going to place under the permissive will of God, even though Ott kind of, but not entirely, disagrees with this. So an example of this would be a child who gets cancer. That child did not sin. His parents didn't cause that cancer. But that cancer is an effect of the fall of Adam and Eve that we all participate in. I know that might be shocking to people who had the same liberal catechesis as I did, that even cancer is the effect of sin. Is cancer the effect of sin? Yes, but not the personal sin of that child. And this is one reason I believe Americans rebel against God so much in their suffering, is we are so individual in our outlook that we don't understand the communal effects of sin. Now, a lot of social justice Catholics put everything on the communal effects of sin. I'm not talking about that, because of course I believe in our own particular judgment before God when he judges us if we're going to heaven or hell. We're going to have to look at our own particular sins, not, you know, communal sins that happen around us. But there is a reality to the communal effect of sin in this, that let's say that child with cancer, let's say that baby with cancer has that because, say, a factory next door poisoned the water. Well, that is communal sin affecting an innocent person, relatively innocent, especially if baptism's already washed away that baby's original sin. Okay, or I mentioned an orangutan earlier. I don't really like monkeys, so I'm going to use this example. What about when animals display murder out of what seems to be malice? A lot of you have probably seen this on YouTube. What about when animals display murder out of seeming malice in tribes or even sexual disorder in the animal kingdom? Atheists often point to that, and then they make us Christians explain, well, if this happens in the natural order, then it must be natural. No, this is our answer as Catholics, and I realize this might be a little bit of a showstopper for people who had relatively liberal catechesis like me, but when an orangutan kills another orangutan, not for food, but out of some type of tribal rage, that is not sin, but it is evil, and that evil has its root in the rebellion of Adam and Eve, which in turn has its root in the fall of Satan. So it's almost like animals can pick up sin from humans, and humans can pick up sin in imitating fallen angels in this cosmic scale. In any case, a child with cancer or that orangutan that kills another orangutan out of tribal rage, that isn't sin, but it is evil. And since it was not intended by God, in God's goodness, I'm still going to place these things of physical or moral evil under this title, God's permissive will, not his positive will. But again, how about that little 8-year-old girl riding her bike and just clobbered and killed by a drunk driver in the middle of the day? Couldn't God have stopped this? Isn't his positive will stronger than his permissive will? Yes. And this is the problem of pain that we're going to tackle on CPX 7 on Wednesday. Just a real quick announcement today. You can now find the CPX, Catechism of Pope St. Pius X, in a playlist on YouTube. And you can find the VLX series, the Video Lectio Divina, Meditations. That also is on a playlist on YouTube. And someone out there asked that I finish all of these with a blessing. Benedictio Deum Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos et mani et semper. Amen.